people hear me okay? It works. Great. Okay. I want to say a big thank you for everyone coming out today. Huge thank you to Richard and the other organizers for putting on this event. It's fantastic to see the great turnout. I think there's some fantastic content today with some great speakers throughout, and then also tomorrow, in particular, bringing in families and others. It's awesome to see all the interest in the cloud. Quick question here. How many people are new to Azure, meaning they haven't used Azure before? Okay. How many people here are experts at Azure and have used it for at least 10 years? It's a trick question. Okay. And I guess everyone else, which is the other 95% of people, are somewhere in between. Okay. So in terms of kind of the high level, what is Azure? So Azure is kind of Microsoft's cloud computing platform, and it really enables you to move faster, be able to do new types of applications, and really ultimately makes development more exciting and more fulfilling, hopefully if we've done our job in terms of what it delivers. You know, what's cool about Azure is it provides tons and tons of services. Obviously, infrastructure, so you can run VMs, you can basically stand up anything you want in the cloud, and then a whole bunch of what we call kind of highly engineered services or platform services that you can leverage as part of your applications to be able to build things even faster. What's cool about Azure is it runs all over the world. So this map here represents what we call Azure regions. And so a region in Azure is basically a location where we have a cluster of typically multiple data centers. And so each of these blue dots represents a region. We have 32 regions that are announced around the world today. Put that in perspective, that's more regions than AWS and Google combined. And we're really excited, last time was in the UK, to announce two new regions that we're opening up here in the UK later this year. One here near London and one that's several hundred miles away. We try to, for each country, have, or for each location we put regions into, is have what we call a secondary region that's about 500 miles away for natural disaster reasons. And so that way you can know that you can basically meet any geopolitical need. So you can enter South American market or the EU or the European or the American market or China, et cetera, and always have two locations that you can basically run your systems at so that you can always have failover in the event of a natural disaster and know that, again, your data never leaves that particular location and you can meet any compliance or government regulations. What's nice about these little blue dots is not only are they all over the place, and so each one of these blue dots means you can actually deploy code and run your applications. They're not CDNs, they're not edge points. These are literally places where you can take advantage of our servers and storage. What's cool about these dots is they're really big. And so this is an example of what one of our regions looks like, and it kind of gives you a sense of the scale and size of it. That sort of little circle in the bottom right is a very large truck. And so it gives you some sense in terms of how big these things are. This is the same region from a different angle. It shows you the expansion that's currently underway. I'll give you sort of a sense, this particular region will be about 2 miles wide or 2 miles long once it's fully built out. It hosts about 700,000 servers. And this is just one of the 32 we have around the world. And so this kind of gives you a sense of when you think about the apps that you want to build, you think about kind of the companies you maybe eventually want to develop, having this capacity at your fingertips with all the features that we'll show today really enables you to tackle and solve any type of problem. In terms of why is Azure unique, we really try to do a couple things. And hopefully you'll see it throughout today's talks represented. And I kind of use these kind of three different circles, and I'll just briefly cover them. You know, one of the things that we're trying to do with Azure is really give you maximum choice and flexibility in terms of the tools, the technologies, and the frameworks that you leverage and take advantage of. This slide here just is a small scattering of some of the different technologies that you can use with Azure today. You can see you can use pretty much every operating system out there, not just one Linux. I think we've got like 12 Linux distros, whether it's Red Hat, whether it's Ubuntu, whether it's new systems like CoreOS and others that you can leverage. Pretty much every database and data technology out there, every language, pretty much every app framework. And this gives you the benefit as a developer in that you can always use the best tool for the job, and you can always leverage both the commercial as well as the open source ecosystem on any project. Supporting lots of different technologies is important. The other thing that makes Azure, I think, even more unique versus other cloud providers out there is the fact that it gives you the choice and flexibility to build applications that can run in our hyperscale data centers, like the pictures that I showed of one of our facilities. But it also gives you the flexibility of being able to deploy those same applications on premises as well, or inside a service provider environment. And we have this thing we call Azure Stack that gives you that consistent programming model, the consistent management experience. So it's the same management portal, the same management APIs, same command line experience, same core data and application APIs. And again, you can run your applications in anywhere. And we find, especially for large enterprises or people that are in public sector that have unique requirements in terms of compliance that they need to meet, having this flexibility to build a system and run it in both places is a big differentiator. We're seeing increasingly, for example, lots of banks starting to adopt Azure around the world, including some of the first globally systemic financial institutions, which have a unique set of compliance requirements. And many of them are now deploying into public cloud Azure, but they're very wary of, hey, if the regulator changes their mind in 3 years and I built all my systems to only run inside your data centers, I'm in real trouble. And so having this optionality where they can always bring applications back on-prem if they need to is a big difference for them. There's other organizations that aren't ready yet to deploy in public cloud, but know that they want to build on a modern application stack and be able to modernize their applications. Being able to do that with Azure Stack now, and then at the later point, be able to migrate those systems into a public cloud environment, again, gives them a unique flexibility and optionality that no other cloud provider delivers. We try really hard with Azure to deliver what we call an enterprise-ready experience. That means, you know, there's a set of software and technology that we need to build to make sure that everything we do can be easily integrated into an enterprise or corporate environment. But it also means that a unique set of compliance, security, and regulatory things that we also meet as well. We now have with Azure more regulatory requirements and certifications than any other cloud out there. You can see some that are somewhere on here. Gov.uk is an example of one that's unique here in the UK, but lots of others around the world. And this basically means, again, whether you're an enterprise building an application or you're a software developer that wants to target an enterprise that needs a certain compliance, Azure gives you that flexibility to do so. These are just some of the companies in terms of some of the, I think, the largest 500 companies in the world. We have about 85% of them now running on top of our cloud. This gives you a sense of just sort of some of those enterprises that are betting their businesses using Azure today. And then the thing that I think hopefully really differentiates Azure, and you'll see this throughout the demos today, is our focus around productivity. In other words, how can we enable you to move faster? How do we enable you to do more? And at the same time, basically, how do we enable you to have more fun while doing it? And you know, the thing that I'm going to be walking through today, and we'll come back to this diagram sort of over and over again between the different demos, is some of the services that we deliver that enable you to do that. Whether it's with web and mobile applications, whether it's IoT, whether it's with microservices or data and analytics or identity management or media streaming, high-performance computing, and more. We've got sort of unique services that you can leverage and take advantage of that enable you to kind of move much faster and, again, get a lot more done. Let me talk a little bit about kind of Azure usage and some customers, and then we'll dive in more in some specific details. So the cool thing is we're seeing is just a tremendous amount of momentum with Azure. You know, I think back to the event that we did here 3 or 4 years ago in that movie theater. You know, Azure's grown probably, I don't know, 20 or 30x in terms of usage since then. We're now seeing about 120,000 new customer subscriptions being created every month. There's more than 1.6 million SQL databases running in production. We have more than 2 trillion messages per week now being processed by our Azure IoT service. More than 600 million unique users and more than 5 million organizations in our Azure Active Directory system. More than 4 million developers using our Visual Studio Team services, which I'll demo a little bit later. And the cool thing is we're seeing this not just from enterprises, but over 40% of our revenue and even more of our usage is coming from startups, as well as ISVs and independent software companies that are targeting both consumers as well as enterprises. There's a huge diversity in terms of the people that are taking advantage of it. In terms of a couple names that you might recognize, big consumer brands like AccuWeather, which I don't know how big AccuWeather here is from a weather service here in the UK, but I think they're the largest, the largest weather app service in the world. They're taking advantage of Azure. They process more than 10 billion data inputs per day using it, and they're actually using our data services now to store more than 7 trillion different unique data entities They didn't do big machine learning as well as high-performance computing on to both be able to predict the weather and surface it to consumers through like a mobile or web experience. But the other thing that they do behind the background is they actually sell their services now to some of the largest enterprises out there, so that enterprises can basically call APIs on this and be able to orchestrate things like supply chain, order forecasting, and other things, and be able to incorporate weather in a deep way inside of how they run things. Does anyone here have a BMW? Cool, one person, two people. I wish I was one of you, I don't. But if you have a recent BMW, one of the things you might have noticed is there's a brand new connected car experience that they just updated their existing vehicles, and all new vehicles going forward now support. It basically has kind of an integrated dashboard experience. It's got a great mobile device, so you can unlock your car and do other things with it without actually having to be in the car. And the cool thing is it's all powered by Azure. And so they're using our Azure IoT service to connect and control the cars. They're using our mobile services in order to deliver the mobile-based applications. They're using machine learning and a whole bunch of our rich data services and able to provide a much more curated experience to their customers. And you know, it's a great example of using IoT in a consumer experience to dramatically improve kind of the overall quality of the car ownership. Rolls-Royce, iconic UK company that you know builds many things, including you know most of the or more than half the jet engines in the world that you go ahead and fly planes with. You know they're taking. Is there anyone from Rolls-Royce actually here today? Great. Okay. Cool. So someone here from the audience. I didn't know. So hopefully I tell your story right. But you know one of the things that Rolls-Royce has been looking at and been doing some great work on is how do they. In the same way that BMW is trying to provide it for consumers, how does they take this massive industrial equipment and huge engineering, and how do they provide a set of services to their consumers, which are airlines, and be able to provide an even richer experience in terms of what an engine can do for that airline. And so one of the things, for example, that they've done is they've taken advantage of Azure IoT, our Cortana Intelligence Suite, as well as our Power BI offering, to basically provide a way that directly to the airline they can surface things like what is the fuel efficiency and fuel management look like for a particular airline or particular route using the Rolls-Royce engines. And so if a particular airline on a particular route or a particular even flight crew is consuming more fuel than average, you know, the airline can know, they can investigate to try to understand, do we need to do training of that particular crew? Was there something about the weather route that we should redirect that plane around in order to go ahead and be more efficient? And since fuel is the number one cost for an airline, this translates into a huge value add that they can deliver as part of their engines. This is something that for anyone that flies, you hopefully never see, or else I guess we never see you again. But you know, this is what you want to avoid. You know, the other thing that's key about you know, being able to take advantage of this telemetry is the fact that you can actually now take the telemetry off the engine, be able to incorporate it with things like service maintenance contracts, and be able to predict what type of actions need to be taken on an engine proactively to avoid you know, either a catastrophic issue like that picture, or more likely just a case where you end up having to delay a flight because it needs to do unexpected maintenance. And so they're able, again, directly to an airline, be able to provide all this telemetry and be able to turn it into action that can ultimately save an airline hundreds of millions of dollars. Other companies here in the UK, I don't know if there's anyone here from TalkTalk or Blinkbox here in the audience. No? They're obviously one of the largest streaming companies here in the UK, built entirely on Azure. They're taking advantage of our media streaming capabilities, so all the core streaming capabilities, as well as obviously the data, the web, and the mobile experience, and be able to provide kind of a rich experience as part of that. Metro Bank, anyone here use Metro Bank? Anyone here from Metro Bank? No, okay. Well, basically Metro Bank is, I think, the first high street bank in the UK in 100 years. It was created about 5 years ago. And you know, one of the things that they're really focused around is you know, how do they kind of redefine the customer experience? And they built pretty much all their systems to run in the cloud, whether it's using our dynamic CRM offering to kind of keep track of customers and be able to provide a much more curated experience and very fast checking sign up, et cetera. Power BI for tracking analytics, and then being able to take advantage of Azure and Office 365 as part of the infrastructure. And they're seeing phenomenal success and growth rates. And then since many people probably used the tube to get here, I thought I'd close on another application here, which is Transport for London, which is if you ever wanted to report a fault in the tube or a particular thing, the mobile application, as well as the website and all the backend experiences for managing that, you know, is again kind of another example in terms of built on Azure that's kind of more of a line of business-like solution. But it's a great example of, you know, how do you scale it? How do you kind of provide a great mobile web experience that can work on top of any devices? Anyone here from Transport for London? One person, great, cool. So those are just a couple examples, in the last couple particular ones, you know, from the UK, in terms of some of the customers that are using Azure. And you can kind of see from them, whether it's jet engines, cars, maintenance equipment, to media streaming, to weather apps, there's a huge diversity in terms of the types of apps that people are building. And it's kind of cool that you can do all that and a bunch more. So the first category I thought I'd spend a little bit of time on is in the web and mobile space. Since probably most people here are building a system that ultimately will have either a web or mobile interface. How many people here are doing mobile development, actually? How many people are doing web development? How many people are doing 3270 mainframe development? No hands. Okay. Cool. So one of the things we're trying to do with our overall set of tools with our what we call our Visual Studio family is, you know, is really provide a rich set of tools that allow you to build any type of application on any platform in any language. And so, you know, I think most people are familiar with the Visual Studio IDE, which is our most commonly used tool. We also then have one called VS Code. How many people here are using VS Code? Cool, a lot of people are. VS Code, which is sort of a code-optimized editor, provides great IntelliSense, debugging, and kind of a really lightweight, fast editor. It's available for free, it's open source, and it also works on Windows, Mac, and Linux systems. And then we also have our Visual Studio Team Services, which is a cloud-hosted service that gives you a whole bunch of back-end capabilities, so things like source control hosting, continuous integration and build environments, release management, application insights, and a whole bunch more. That you can take advantage of as well. And one of the things that we focused on identified as a gap that we had in our family was how do we enable great mobile application development? And so one of the things that we recently did was purchase a company called Xamarin, which is now part of that Visual Studio family and provides a fantastic way that you can do native apps that can target iOS, they can target Android, and as well as Windows. And be able to do it with a single code base while still taking advantage of the full capabilities on a particular device. What's cool about Xamarin is it's loved by developers and it's trusted by enterprises. And so there's a huge number of companies taking advantage of Xamarin even before we bought it. And we've now made Xamarin free so that anyone can use it. And we're seeing sort of a huge upswing even in terms of usage in just the last 2 months since that point. And the companies taking advantage of it range all over the place. Companies like Slack and Pinterest, for example, use Xamarin as part of their development path. And then you can see there's a huge number of enterprises that are taking advantage of it as well. What I thought I'd do is actually show off a quick video of a couple of the customers talking about it.
Xamarin allows our team to get to market faster than our competition.
Xamarin is a platform that works for native development on iOS, Android, and Windows.
It allows us to not need to focus on all the different development tools, but allow us to write a better code and provide better features.
Xamarin Test Cloud allows us to push our app to over 2,000 real devices, both mobile phones and tablets, across a matrix of operating systems and device types so that we can get the kind of coverage we would never be able to support in-house. Pinterest is a very visual tool to be testing, so Xamarin makes sense in terms of its live devices testing the physical app just like a user would use it. Working with Xamarin Test Cloud is giving us the confidence to get to our next 100 million users.
With 2.3 million daily active users, there are a lot of people that rely on Slack. Finding issues and bugs and being able to report that really shows the value of the automation that we're building.
The Xamarin Test Cloud had the ability to run our automation against a huge, huge device library that they offered, as well as the reporting back that Xamarin gives us after the tests are complete is very detailed, allows us to look at different types of app usage data, battery usage data, and then of course looking at the actual stack traces of failures and logs was extremely important as well.
We have a great collaboration with LEGO, which is trying to enable students to find that love of engineering through robotics. The combination of Visual Studio, .NET, and Xamarin provide that very scalable bridge from desktop to mobile.
If I can write one piece of code and it works everywhere, that makes me very happy.
Xamarin is sick. It's crazy the kind of stuff you can do with this product.
That's my favorite line. So one of the things that's cool about Xamarin is it enables you to kind of build truly native mobile apps. And so you can take advantage of every native API on the device, so there's nothing you can't do in terms of an app experience. And you can take advantage from a UI framework of the native UI framework on the device. So the apps look and feel completely native like they would any other top-ranked app in the App Store. And you can do that with a single language, which is using C#. Which means you can take advantage of your C# developer, the skills you already have. And even if you're not a C# developer, the beauty is you can actually go ahead now and write shared libraries using C# that you can use across iOS and Android and Windows. And so you can basically have code sharing that wouldn't necessarily be possible if you were just doing Objective-C and Java, say, for Android, and you couldn't easily kind of share those libraries across. And then from a complete mobile lifecycle capability, the ability to use the Xamarin Test Cloud, not just with apps that are built using Xamarin and C#, but you can actually test any Objective-C, any Swift, any Java-based Android application using it as well, across literally thousands of real devices, all hosted in the cloud, is really unique and lights up a whole bunch more capabilities in addition. So that's a little bit in terms of how you can author mobile-based applications, both on the device side and then with the Test Cloud being able to host it in the Microsoft Cloud. Let's now switch gears and talk more about some of the Azure capabilities that we also deliver that enable you to build both mobile and web applications as well. Probably one of the most popular services we have is one we call the Azure App Service. How many people here have used App Service before? A number of people have. It basically enables you to build and scale both web and mobile applications. It has ability to basically host any web framework. So you can do .NET, you can do Java, you can do Python, you can do Node.js, and others. It has built-in auto-patching support, so any application you upload, you don't have to worry about patching the OS or the VM it's running on. We basically do all the scaling for you and all the updates for you in terms of capability. It has built-in support for what we call auto-scale, so you can set up rules that can automatically scale up and scale down the amount of resources that your app uses based on actual usage traffic, so it can both enables you to handle lots of load as well as save money. And it has great integration with existing apps from a networking and from a connectivity perspective, so you can easily integrate as part of existing workflows. And it has a great development model that enables continuous deployment. Again, you can do this for web backends, for mobile backends, as well as with our Logic App and API App capability, expose it from a pure API perspective as well. But conceptually, in terms of explaining, again, you can use any language in order to deploy your application. With auto-scale, you can basically stand up and increase the number of resources hosting your application to pretty much an unlimited size. With our new Azure App Service environments, you can have basically a dedicated environment that can scale to literally hundreds of nodes. And then with the auto-scale rules, you can scale down when you don't need that traffic or that capacity in order to save money. And then with the connectivity capabilities, you can now do private connectivity back into an enterprise environment to connect to existing systems. And then with the built-in SaaS capability with Logic Apps, you can integrate with other SaaS solutions like Dynamics or Salesforce or Office 365 and build great solutions that can roll across them. So let's talk about Azure Functions. This is another cool feature that is part of Azure App Service that you can take advantage of. Again, if you've already got an app service created, it costs no extra money. You can use the existing resources that you're already taking advantage of. And then we also have what we call a dynamic option where you don't have to have any deployed provisioned VM, and you pay literally just by the invocation in terms of the amount of CPU that you want to take advantage of and use. How many people here have used Azure Functions? Ah, good, fewer hands. How many people have heard of Azure Functions? Cool. How many people have heard of serverless computing? It's kind of a cool buzzword term. Basically, what serverless computing means is, like, literally, you don't have to have a VM. You don't have to have even an app service in order to actually run your applications. Instead, you can literally upload the code that you want to run, and we'll dynamically schedule that code for you and handle everything around running it and updating it and scaling it out automatically. With functions, basically, you can trigger on events. So you can basically, when a URL comes in, you could say run code. You can set up a timer to say every time, every 5 seconds, run code. You can do webhooks and run code. And you can also now listen to any Azure resource and run code as well. So for example, you could say anytime someone saves something in the Azure storage system for my account, go ahead and trigger some code to process data on it. You pay only for execution, so there's no running VM sitting idle, so it can save you a lot of money. We support multiple code options. We have great C# and Node.js support today. We're also adding Python, Java, and other languages as well. And the runtime itself is now open source, and so you can basically take this runtime and use it anywhere. You can even use it on other cloud providers and be able to use the same programming model and support for doing it. Let's talk about other things, microservices. How many people here are building their applications in a microservice-based architecture? Cool. How many people want to build their services in a microservice-based architecture in the future? Great. How many people use Docker today? Cool. How many people can say on their resume with a straight face they have 5 years of Docker experience? That was a trick question. Okay. I love it when people send me, I've been using Azure for 15 years. I'm like, wow, that's cool. that's even before we built it. One of the things that that we're looking to do with Azure is how do we make building microservice-based architectures really easy, and how can we enable maximum flexibility while we do it? And what we've done with Azure is provide a couple of different building blocks that you can leverage in order to do so. At its base level, we've introduced a new capability we call VM scale sets that just went GA, I think, a month ago or 2 months ago, that basically allow you to very quickly stand up VMs that can basically have kind of a repeatable format. So you can say, I want 1,000 of this type, or I want X number of this type, and be able to create it. And it gives you kind of raw capability that you can host any code within. So you can write any orchestration layer you want, you can host anything within, and you can use for a wide variety of scenarios. We're finding lots of people taking advantage of it. And then specifically for kind of a more of a microservice, in particular a Docker-based microservice architecture, we also just went GA with a new service we call our Azure Container Service, which basically provides the ability, if you want to use Docker as your format, which is the most common format people are using today, to basically deploy container-based applications and orchestrate them across infrastructure inside Azure. And then we also have an option we call Service Fabric, which is more of a prescriptive microservice architecture approach. That provides, it also uses Docker, also uses containers, but provides even more services in terms of health management and state management that you can leverage as well. And sort of you can think of it as the more up the stack you go, the more opinionated the framework, and the more prescriptive, so you get more productivity, but then there are constraints or within the framework that you live within. Our container service here, it's pretty cool. I have to confess, I hadn't used it until this week. I demoed it, but I hadn't used it. It lets you do a bunch of pretty cool things. It works with standard Docker tooling and API. So it is Docker-based in terms of the container format. And then it supports both Apache Mesos and Mesosphere, DCOS, as well as Docker Swarm as orchestration layers that you can use then to basically coordinate your containers. It also has Marathon support so you can actually coordinate. And that's all built in, and it's really easy to set up. And then it basically will support both Linux and Windows Server-based containers. And so you can support both, and it'll run both in Azure and Azure Stack. Later on today, you'll hear a talk on Azure Service Fabric. This is kind of our most prescriptive microservice architecture approach. We'll use containers. It supports .NET, Java, and other languages. And then the benefit it provides is not only does it do stateless communication or stateless containers, but can also do state orchestration across those containers in a deep way as well, which is something that other frameworks don't provide. We're pretty excited about it. We're seeing some pretty amazing applications be built with it. These are just a handful of some of the customers using it today. So lots of data options. And so this is just a sort of small sampling of some of the services we have in Azure. We have our SQLDB service, which is hugely popular. I mentioned we have about 1.6 million of these instances running in the world today. It's a cloud-native database. It now has in-memory column support, so a really unique feature that you can do lightning-fast column store access atop of any data you have within it. And you know, one of the features that just went GA, I think a week or two ago, is our new Elastic database pool option. Anyone here taking advantage of Elastic pools today? Okay, a few people are. How many people are building SaaS-based applications? Okay, number are. So, you know, if you're building a SaaS-based application, you know, the two kind of common models people do is either have like a shared database where you have like one database and you effectively shard all your tenants within the database, or you have a separate database for each of your customers. You know, the benefit with this one is it's lower resource cost, but it's much higher operational complexity, because when you have very, very large databases, managing changes to that database can be a real pain. And at some point, you tip over what a relational database is able to do. Separate databases simplifies that, but it increases your operational cost. And so what we try to do with Elastic Pool is give you the best of both worlds. And so with an Elastic Pool, you can now actually maintain separate isolated logical databases. So everything is isolated. You can even have a separate encryption key for each customer so that you can ensure and promise your customer not only is it encrypted at rest, but it's encrypted at rest with just your data. But then what you can basically do is stick it in a pool so that instead of paying separately for each database, you just pay for a pool and you put multiple databases in the pool. And it basically, you can automatically use all the capacity in the pool and even it out the load across the individual databases. And you can set max constraints so that no one customer can, for example, use more capacity that would starve others. And it's a great way that you can kind of get much simpler development and at the same time save considerable amount of money. And it dramatically simplifies your management costs. And that's now available in general availability. We're seeing tons of customers taking advantage of it in deep ways. Our DocDB service is also one that is super popular that we're seeing tons of people use. It's a fully managed NoSQL database. It scales seamlessly from gigabytes to hundreds of terabytes and allows you to build really high-performance operations. You can literally do millions of operations per second against it, and it has rich query support with schema-agnostic indexing. New features we just rolled out are new pricing and scaling options. One of the things with our previous model, we basically bought sort of a fixed database and the size of compute. We found some people said, look, I just need a small database, but I need a lot of compute, a lot of query processing. Other people said, look, I have a large database, but I don't actually query it that often. It's mostly for logs. And so the nice thing is you can now scale those independently, storage and compute, to basically have a much more maximized experience at a much lower cost. We now support what we call global databases, so you can geo-replicate databases around the world to be able to kind of do failover scenarios between regions or be able to have a single application that gives great latency regardless of where someone's accessing it around the world. And then we have some pretty cool support with DocDB now, where not only can you write through the native DocumentDB API, but we now have full protocol support for MongoDB as well. And that basically means you can take any Mongo library or any driver and basically write against it, and it just works. And so I have a cool demo that I guess I won't be able to show, which shows off how you can take advantage of it. In this case, it was going to be on a Mac from a Node.js app that I just pulled off of GitHub. And you basically just point the connection string at DocDB, and it just works. And we just rolled this out worldwide, so it's available now in all of our European regions to be able to take advantage of as well. A cool video that I'm going to skip. This is sort of... is Walking Dead big here on TV? Yeah. Yeah. So the Walking Dead app, maybe we will play this video, is the number one app in the Apple App Store for free apps, which is a pretty big thing. They basically use Azure, and they use Azure DocDB. They do over 1 billion queries per day. And what's cool is the response time at the 99th percentile of their application is less than 10 milliseconds, which is pretty impressive. So let's watch the video.
We're really proud of the fact that we're actually helping humankind to learn how to rebel the workers and stay alive. Azure is a key part in that training. You have to be able to do that 24/7 just to be ready. Walking Dead No Man's Land is based on the AMC TV series. We can actually provide new content after each episode within 24 hours. I pretty much knew that with choosing Azure and Microsoft, I would be guaranteed with better support than I would get from any other cloud providers. We know that there's somebody there looking after us. In Azure, we have, I don't know how many hundreds of servers, but then again, why would I care? It's cloud. The latest addition that we've been starting to use in Azure is DocumentDB, which has really helped us to make our development cycles faster, and that actually enabled us to create a very engaging player versus player experience within the game. Many of the things that we would usually need when we're doing backend are already pre-figured out for us by Microsoft. And we were able to deliver such a high quality, engaging game with stunning graphics, good gameplay, and reliable technology.
So, unfortunately, not going to be able to show the demo of DocDB, but I'll post it somewhere so you take advantage of it. But it's cool, again, if you want to be able to use Mongo, if you come from a mean stack or Node.js, it's got great support in there. Other things that we have in Azure is a bunch of services that allow you not only to store data, but to get insight from data. And so we now have a whole bunch of capabilities that you can leverage to create data warehouses, to create what we call data lakes that can store exabytes of data, and be able to do set up data workflows so you can ingest data, you can do machine learning on it, and do a bunch of great things. We also have our Power BI tool, which provides a great way that you can go ahead and visualize any type of data that can be stored inside any data platform, including any of these services I just mentioned inside Azure. And it works across mobile devices, it works across the web. It's got a free version that you can take advantage of, and if you haven't seen it, it's pretty cool. And then for developers, one of the things that's nice is we now support the ability to embed Power BI directly inside your applications. And so if you've got anything inside your application where you want to be able to provide, for example, reporting capabilities to your end customer, you can basically embed our UI directly inside your web app. And you don't have to, the user doesn't even know what Power BI is. They don't have to have an account for Power BI. They don't even have to sign into Power BI. Instead, they just sign into your application, and you can service any of those reports or dashboards directly to them. And then the beauty is because Power BI lets a customer customize reports, this now gives a customer the ability also to create their own reports on top of the data inside your SaaS app or inside your solution, which enables much more flexible options. And it's basically a pay-as-you-go feature, so there's no upfront costs, and it's directly integrated as part of Azure. And the last demo we'll show is our SQL Data Warehouse and how you can take advantage of that to basically store and process data. And the Data Warehouse is a new service. It's going to go GA this month. It's in preview, public preview today, but it'll go GA officially later this month. And it lets you aggregate and store literally petabytes of data. You can do interactive query and visualization on top of it, and then you can operationalize machine learning on it as well. And so the beauty is you could take any system, so take an Azure App Service with a SQL database, or it could be DocDB or any other data store, MySQL, Postgres, you name it. You can import the data into SQL Data Warehouse. You could pull it from Hadoop, you could pull it from an on-prem system as well. And then basically you could point Power BI at it, get rich visualizations, you can do rich reporting, and you can also then run machine learning algorithms against it and basically surface those machine learning APIs directly back into your application to make it even smarter. Lots of other services I could talk to. Unfortunately, you'll hear more about Internet of Things this afternoon. There's a ton of great people building some really amazing IoT scenarios. I talked about BMW, talked about Rolls-Royce, but you can see others on this list. Ultimately, we think people will connect every device up there ultimately with the cloud. And with the Azure IoT Suite, it makes it really easy, similar to the other productivity sort of scenarios I showed in terms of connecting a device, being able to get analytics from it, and be able to securely manage it. And then everything that we're providing inside Azure, we're looking to have a great management and security story as part of. Our Azure Security Center, if you haven't checked that out yet, it's definitely worth going ahead and taking a look at. It really gives you a single dashboard view across all of your Azure resources and can help pinpoint potential security threats and security issues that you might have. So lots more stuff in terms of Azure that I won't get a chance to talk about, but I'll come back again next time and show off. Last thing I'll just mention for people who don't know, if you're an MSDN subscriber, you can sign up to Azure. You get free credits per month. So if you're an MSDN subscriber, definitely take advantage of that. So with that, I'll say a huge thank you. Sorry I'm a little bit late. And really want to thank you for all your interest in Azure.